Maybe we could look in the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. Hebrews, chapter 3, and verse number 1. Hebrews 3 and verse number 1, we read this. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Now, there's a lot in this verse we could talk about. Basically, it's talking, the verse, I think, has to do with considering the Lord Jesus as the apostle and the high priest of our confession, our profession. As the apostle, of course, he was sent from God to man. As the high priest, he goes from man to God. Two directions of ministry. As the apostle, he came down to earth for 30 years plus. And the ministry, especially for 3 years. And as the high priest, he's been there for 2,000 years as our great high priest. But it's that heavenly calling that I want to look at a little bit this morning. Partakers of the heavenly calling. Now, a calling in the scripture is a vocation. I suppose to put it in the secular world, we could say Dr. Dion is, her calling is a doctor. Marty's is a school teacher, and somebody else's, Carmen's is a fisherman, and so on. So a heavenly calling is our vocation, our calling, our profession, our work. So keep your finger there. We want to look at that heavenly calling, but I want you to look in Second Timothy, chapter number 1. 2 Timothy, chapter number 1. And we're going to read about a holy calling. Verse number 9. We've been called to a heavenly calling. That has to do with our home and our destiny. It's in heaven. That's our calling. That's where we're going. In verse 9 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Now, if a heavenly calling speaks of our destiny, our holy calling speaks of our character, what we are. I suppose the attribute of the Lord most mentioned in the Bible is His holiness. It's what He is, not so much what He does. Holy and righteous are Thy judgments, O Lord. The holiness has to do with His character. His righteousness has to do with His deeds, what He does. Right deeds. But He's holy in character. So our heavenly calling is destiny. Our holy calling is character. Now look in Philippians chapter number 3, and you're going to see another description of that calling. Philippians chapter number 3. And verse number 14. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now the high calling has to do with our service and our rewards. Paul was forgetting the things that were behind, and he was pressing forward, reaching forward and pressing forward toward the mark of the reward, the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. So we've got a heavenly calling that has to do with our destiny. We've got a holy calling that has to do with our character. And we've got a high calling that has to do with our service for the Lord. And that's the sum total, I believe, of our Christian lives. Now, a heavenly calling. In the Old Testament, the Lord's people were promised an inheritance. All through the Old Testament, 185 times in the Old Testament, we have the word inheritance mentioned. Not always, but many times it has an application to God's promises to Abraham about a land and a possession for him and his seed for everlasting possession. That's in chapter 17 of Genesis. They have an inheritance, a future inheritance. Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. Never found it during his lifetime, but he still has that future inheritance. Matthew 8 and verse 11 says, many will come from the east and the west and sit down in the kingdom of heaven with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and so on. That's their inheritance, a kingdom on this earth. They haven't got a heavenly inheritance at all. They have no promises of heaven in the Old Testament. They have an eternal, everlasting life in a kingdom on the earth. That's their inheritance. Now, look with me in 1 Peter chapter number 1. Our inheritance is not on earth like theirs. Our inheritance is in heaven. 1 Peter chapter 1, and it's important to see this. This keeps a clear line of distinction between Israel and the church. Mixing those two together has caused all sorts of false doctrines and everything else. They are two separate things. Israel's, all of her promises are earthly, they're everlasting, they have to do with the land, they have to do with the kingdom. God made special promises to Abraham about a king, about a land, and David about a kingdom. And of course their city is Jerusalem as it is on this earth. That's their everlasting possession forever. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. We have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. Where is it? Reserved in heaven for you. All the promises to God, of God to the church and to us are heavenly promises. Ephesians 1 and 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Heavenly things in Christ Jesus. So, keeping those two things separate, there's two entirely different inheritances. Israel has one in the land, the believers have one in heaven, the believers, the church has one in heaven. So, that's why we're told about a heavenly calling. That's where our inheritance is. Now, let's look in Philippians chapter number 1, chapter number 3, in the book of Philippians. Chapter number 3 again, and verse number 20. The reason our calling is heavenly isn't just our for our destiny alone, our final destiny. But it's for our pilgrimage all the way. We were made citizens of heaven the moment we were born again. And we got that in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 20. For our conversation is in heaven. Now, the word conversation, most of the time, the old English word conversation means our conduct, the way we lived, our manner of life. But in this particular verse, this word conversation is only used here, nowhere else in the Scriptures. And it literally could be translated, our citizenship is in heaven. That's the place we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus, to come, who is going to change our vile body and make it fashion like in his glorious body. That's when we're going to enter into that inheritance that we already have. So we're citizens of heaven. Now it's important that we realize this. We are not citizens of this world. In John chapter, mostly in chapter 17 of the Gospel of John, while the Lord prays for his own, nine times over, he says, ye are not of this world. He says, even as I am not of this world, ye are not of this world. Nine times over, he says that in the Gospel of John. What does he mean? He just doesn't mean we're not we're not partakers of the sins of the world and the lusts of the world. We try to keep ourselves clear of the corruption there is in the world. That's true. But when he says, you're not of the world, even as I am not of the world, he's simply saying, I don't belong here. I'm from another country. My home is in heaven. That's where I lived. I just come down here as a stranger and a pilgrim in the world, and I went through for 33 years plus on the earth, and my home is up there. So that's what he's saying here. Our citizenship is in heaven. We don't have any citizenship on earth anymore. We might say we're a citizen of Canada. That's true in a sense, but in another sense, in the eyes of God, it's not true. You see, our citizenship on earth ended the moment we got saved. And we have a new citizenship in heaven above. And that's what the Lord means when he says, ye are not of this world. Now, when did that happen? Romans 6 and verse 6. The old man we were in Christ is crucified with Christ. That cut us off from Adam. That cut us off from the world. That cut us off from the old creation. That cut us off. So we're not citizens of the world anymore. We don't belong here anymore. We've been cut off from this world. We've been crucified with Christ. Not only crucified with Christ, but in Ephesians chapter number 2, it says that verse 6 of Ephesians chapter 2, we've not only been crucified with Christ, but we've been raised up together with Christ. We've been raised up again from the dead, from Christ. So God sees the believer, every one of us, he sees us coming to the cross as belonging to this world. He sees us dying with Christ. And a dead man has no citizenship in the country that he died in. That's gone. Everything about that is left behind. And he sees us not only crucified with Christ, he sees that old life buried with Christ. And he sees us rising up, verse 6, and he's raised us up together, not only raised us up, but he's gone beyond that. And he's made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we've been crucified with Christ, buried with Christ, raised with Christ, and God sees us already up there in heaven. And that's what he means when he says our citizenship is in heaven. That's our home. We're still on the earth, our feet's on the earth, and we're still here, and we're still living in the world. And we still have to partake of the elements of the world in order to live and eat and move and have our being. But our citizenship is in heaven. We're not citizens of this world. Look at me in Romans chapter 7. Paul brings this out so vividly in Romans 6, 7, and 8 that we're no longer in the world. We've been cut off from the world. We've been crucified with the world. So he gives an illustration in chapter 7 of Romans about a woman in verse 2 who has a husband, and she's bound by the law to that husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, then she's free to go be married to another man. Now what's he talking about? He's talking about Romans 6 and verse 6. He's saying that old man, that old husband that we were united to in Adam, that old life that we had in Adam, that old man we were in Adam, that old man died with Christ. That old man was crucified with Christ. Now we're loose from the law that bound us to that old man so that we can be married to another man in the latter part of verse 3. Just the same as a woman, her husband dies, the marriage is broken, she can go marry another man. Notice verse 4. Wherefore, he used that as an illustration, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. When Christ died on the cross, we died with him. What for? That we might be married to another, even to him that is raised from the dead. Using the same language of the law of marriage, he uses it as if applying it figuratively to us being married to Christ. So we're united to Christ. It's so important that we see that. And it's so important that we practice that by faith in our life, in our lives. That we are dead with Christ, buried with Christ, risen with Christ, and we're seen by God as seated in heaven with Him. Colossians 3 says that's why we should set our affections on things above and not on the things of the earth. That's where our citizenship is. That's where our home is. So we are a citizens of heaven. Now I want to show you a verse in the book of Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, about our place here as citizens of heaven. 1 Peter 2 and verse number 11, we read this. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Now a stranger is a person that is away from their own country. They're a sojourner. They're a person that has no citizenship here. If we have immigrants come into our country and they're not citizens of our country, they are strangers. They're just sojourning with us. They're just here as strangers. We are not of this world. We're just strangers in the world. We have no citizenship here. Our citizenship is in heaven. And notice, a stranger is a person that is away from home. Out of their country. And our country is heaven. A pilgrim is a person that's on a pilgrimage or a journey home. They're just journeying through on their way home. That's the ought to be the character of us. That was the character of the Old Testament saints, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were just pilgrims and strangers in the world. They were looking for an earthly city and an earthly kingdom that they never really got. In its full sense. They never really got it, but they will get it in the future. And we are just the same strangers and pilgrims. Our citizenship is in heaven. It's there, reserved for us, but we're not there yet. And we're in the world, we're just the strangers, away from home, no citizenship here, and we're just pilgrims on our way home. Now, notice two characteristics about a stranger and a pilgrim. Number one is in verse 11. Abstain from fleshly lusts. Abstain from fleshly lusts. The word there means to hold off from. To guard yourself against and hold it off at a distance. We're in a world that's full of fleshly lusts. And we have something in us called the flesh that can most certainly fall into those lusts. Those things war against our souls, against our life. They're constantly warring against us. So we're to hold them off. We're to abstain from them. We're to avoid them. So in a world where we're abstainers, abstain from those fleshly lusts that's warring against our souls. And we all have those, all have that. So number one, we must be an abstainer. As a citizen of heaven from the lusts of the earth. Somebody who is an ambassador for our country and a foreign country is not mixing in with the affairs of that country. They're only there representing our country. They don't vote. They're not involved in the politics there. They're not trying to make the place a better place to live. They're only there for one reason, to represent the country that they are from. They're a stranger and a pilgrim in a foreign land. In a political sense. Now look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, and we're going to see the sole purpose of the Lord leaving us in the world. Not to worship, we did that this morning, and that's a proper thing to do, but it's not the purpose of the Lord leaving us here. We'd be better worshipers in heaven. We are here, left here in verse number 20 of 2 Corinthians 5. Well, in verse number 19 would be a better verse. The way that is that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us, who? Strangers and pilgrims, citizens of another country, unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We're in a foreign country. Our citizenship is in heaven. In this world, we should be abstainers from the lusts that war against our souls. Things that's going to get us away from God. Things that are going to hinder us from being a true ambassador for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. As though God talks to us and beseeches people. And we pray in Christ's stead that you will be reconciled to God. So we're an ambassador down here from another country to carry out a faithful witness about the Lord Jesus Christ who and how people can be reconciled to God through him. That's our citizenship. We're abstainers first, and we're ambassadors. If we're not abstainers from the fleshly lusts that war against the soul, we're not apt to be an ambassador for Christ, not function as an ambassador for Christ. That is going to hinder us from telling other people about the gospel if our lives are no different than theirs. And this is what we've got everywhere and professing Christianity today, people that are living lives that are living in sin and trying to witness for Christ, it just does not add up in the life and in the eyes of those people that are listening. So, number one, as in our heavenly calling, is just not destiny. Immediately, it makes us a citizen of another country. We're a citizen of another country. Now, in that country, we have an inheritance. As I read in 1 Peter chapter 1, that's our inheritance in that other country. But until we get there, look with me in Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. A little bit about that inheritance. In verse 6 of Ephesians chapter 1, the moment we accept Christ as our Savior, all to the praise of the glory of the grace of God, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. We are made accepted in Christ. We are not acceptable to God in ourselves. We come to God as unclean sinners, unworthy, unfit sinners. The minute we accept Christ as our Savior and trust Christ as our Savior, as we read in verse number 13, after we hear the truth of the gospel and we trust Christ as our Savior, we are acceptable to God in Christ. The moment we're acceptable to God in Christ, we become a citizen of another country. So in verse number 11, this is what we've obtained. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. That inheritance of Peter is ours only when we trust Christ as our Savior. That's the predestinated purpose of God, that every sinner that trusts Christ as a Savior is acceptable to God, and at that same moment, they are an inheritor of that inheritance that's reserved in heaven for his people. That's God's purpose. Now, look in verse number 13. The Holy Spirit, in verse 13, speaks, it says, in whom also ye trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed. A seal of a deed is a finished product. Anything that's sealed legally is finished. Ye are sealed not by the Holy Spirit of promise, but with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the seal here. And what's it called? It's the earnest, which is the earnest of our inheritance. It's the pledge. Actually, we could use the word down payment. It's using the word seal and a down payment. Somebody makes a down payment on a property and you write up a deed and it's signed and sealed by the people selling it to that person. They haven't got the property yet, probably, but they made a down payment on it. So, when we trusted Christ as our Savior, we obtained that inheritance. We obtained a citizenship in that country that's above. And the Holy Spirit is the pledge. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee. The Holy Spirit is the seal of that inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, until Christ comes back and we enter into that inheritance. Like buying a property we've never seen, and we have a deed for it. That's the guarantee that it's our property, but we haven't inherited the property yet. We haven't seen the property somewhere in Timbuktu. We haven't been there yet, but it's ours by inheritance. So, the moment we trust Christ, we have obtained an inheritance in that city, and at the same time, the guarantee that we'll be there is the Holy Spirit that has sealed that deal. And up until the day of redemption. The day of redemption is when the Lord comes back to redeem our bodies and fashion them like unto His own. Now, there's rewards. We won't go into those, but just look quickly in Ephesians and Colossians chapter 3 and verse 24. There's rewards in that inheritance in heaven. The inheritance in heaven is heaven itself. Guaranteed. But there's certain rewards that we can gain or lose in there, and that has to do with our high calling, our service. So in Colossians 3 and verse 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. The reward of your inheritance. That's not the eternal life, getting into heaven. That is the rewards that we're going to get in that inheritance in heaven. 1 Peter 4 is the place of the inheritance. The rewards that we have in there is going to be determined by our service, our serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the high calling, the prize of the high calling that Paul was talking about. So, we have an inheritance, it's guaranteed, but what we inherit in that inheritance has to do with our service. Peter was asked, what are we going to get in that? And the Lord said, if you forsake all and follow me, you're going to inherit eternal, everlasting life. You're going to have a good inheritance in heaven above. That will be determined at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, how are we going to get there? First, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We can't enter into that country the way we are. That country is absolutely perfect. Our citizenship is sure, our inheritance is sure there, but we're not there. And we can't get there because 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50 says that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We can't get there that way. God couldn't take us to heaven just the way we are, flesh and blood. So what has to happen? There has to be a change. The Lord has to come back again. That's what the day of redemption is. The day of redemption in Romans 8 and verse 24 is the day the Lord comes back to redeem our bodies. We're waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. It's because flesh and blood, as it is now, our humanity, the way it is now, there's death working in our bodies. And we can't go there that way. We wouldn't live, if God took us there that way, we wouldn't live there very long. So he says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Corruption cannot inherit incorruption. So, behold, I show you a mystery. We're not all going to die. We shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, the last trump, the trumpet will sound, the dead is going to be raised, not corruptible, incorruptible. And we shall be changed. This corruptible in the grave is going to put on incorruption. This mortal in the flesh is going to put on immortality. Then death is going to be swallowed up in victory. and we're going to be with the Lord forevermore. That will be the entrance into our country above. Until that happens, we are strangers and pilgrims in the world. We're not of this world. We shouldn't consider ourselves of this world. We're not down here to make the world a better place to live in. We're not down here to put our program behind all of the New Age movements and solving all the problems of the world. We're down here as ambassadors about another country, another kingdom, and a Savior that can reconcile people to God. In order to be good ambassadors, we've got to be abstainers from the fleshly lusts that war against our souls. Shall we pray? Father, we come to thank Thee for Thy word, and we thank Thee for the citizenship that we have in heaven above. We ever thank Thee for the passport that will get us in there. The blood of the Lord Jesus that was shed on the cross for our sins makes us acceptable to Thee, and we thank Thee for that inheritance. We ever pray that we might serve the Lord's Christ faithfully, that we might have an abundant entrance into that kingdom above. So we ask Thy blessing upon each one of us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.